It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley's here. An update, of course, on, yes, the next version of Windows. Hey, this Microsoft never sleeps. And also a little bit about their changing cadence. We'll have more earnings learnings now that Microsoft's earnings have been followed by big companies like Amazon and Google. It's fascinating to compare. Plus, Teams finally getting multi-user sign-in, and Paul's all excited about a big new product coming out next week. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly. Windows Weekly comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studio. Securing every access point in your company does not have to be a challenge. LastPass unifies access and authentication to make securing your employees simple and secure, even when they're working remotely. Check out LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 697, recorded Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. Think of the TikTokers. This episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by NetSuite. Get visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more with NetSuite by Oracle. Now's the time to upgrade to the world's number one cloud business system. Let NetSuite show you how they can benefit your business with a free product tour right now at netsuite.com/WW. And by Bandwidth. Bandwidth understands the challenge enterprises face when migrating to direct routing for Microsoft Teams. That's why Bandwidth launched Duet for Microsoft Teams, the only complete solution for direct routing and Microsoft-certified E911, available direct from a carrier designed to simplify your Teams migration. Request your proof of concept at bandwidth.com/WW. And by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage. Thinking about moving your data storage to the cloud? Wasabi is enterprise-class cloud storage at one-fifth the price of Amazon S3 and faster than the competition, with no fees for egress or API requests and no complex storage tiers. Start a free trial at wasabi.com. Enter the code Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft with this lovely couple. Couple number one, Mary Jo Foley from All About Microsoft.
If you were alone on a ski lift.
ZDNet.com, Paul Thurrott, he of the peanut butter whiskey fame from Thurrott.com. You know, do you ever come home and the little woman says, not you smell like booze, Paul, where you been, but you smell like peanut butter, Paul, where you been?
It's suspicious. She knows where I've been. She was there with me.
She was there doing it, too.
She took me there, Leo.
You both smell like peanut butter. So, hello.
Hello.
A little bit of a late night last night, but we're gonna hang in there. We're gonna do the thing we do so well. Swim
pretend
to Alaska.
The real world doesn't exist.
No, yeah, pretend. Yeah, really, that's really it. Yeah, just I don't know. It's nee. Put my fingers in my ears.
Yep.
There are four topics on the agenda today. I don't know why I'm getting out money.
Okay, we got $10 for each topic.
Here we go.
You want to bet on something like an arrival date?
What are you betting? Who wrote which one?
I'm putting it all on red. We'll be talking about Microsoft earnings. No, we will. Yes, we will. More earnings learnings. We will talk about Windows. We'll talk about Microsoft 365. We'll talk about Xbox. Paul has been playing with it. I want you to knock it off, Paul.
Sorry.
We're gonna get that review too, and that then the back of the book. So we got a busy day today. Let's start with Winders. What's the latest? You know, Ed Bott was on Twit over the weekend, and was a little baffled. This is not on your agenda, but I'm just going to bring it up anyway. A little baffled about this whole new UI. What is it? Project?
Oh yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Are
as
we?
Part of our
Because
we talked about it a little last week.
I know. And he said,
Sun Valley.
Sun Valley seems a little bit, I was going to call it Santa Fe, but that's where he lives. Sun Valley seems a little off the cadence because it's fall 2021.
I feel like someone on the show might have talked about we'll call it a cadence change.
Yeah. So that's what's going on, a change in cadence.
It seems like it.
Is it going to ripple its way back to the previews?
Yeah. So, as usual, Microsoft hasn't really communicated what is next for Windows. Like, right now we get 20H2 rolling out, right? That's the thing that's in the manganese wave. And the next wave is called Iron.
The Mongoosian wave.
After the Mongoosian wave, we have Iron. Not this kind of ironing, not that.
No.
You know.
Iron.
No, we're talking Iron F-E.
Iron F-E, baby.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We're starting to see feature releases in preview to the dev channel from the Iron branch. The Iron branch is something that's being built by the Windows engineering team between June this year and December this year. Like, it's going to be done by December. And then next year, they'll be adding cumulative updates and finessing it, polishing it. And then something we think could come out in the spring.
It's like putting a seed in the ground and we'll see.
I know. Right. So there were rumors I had reported that Microsoft might not do a 21H1 release of Windows 10.
What?
I know. But now Zach Bowden over at Windows Central's hearing there will be one, but it's going to be a minor update. And if you remember our cadence, usually the past 2 years, the cadence has been major update in the spring, minor update in the fall. Looks like we're going to reverse that next year.
But just by the way, sorry to interject, but just to sort of recap for the fans here, the Windows 10 release cycle has never been very stable anyway.
No, right?
I mean, so we're in the fifth, or I guess we're going into the sixth year of Windows 10 now. Yeah. They have changed this up a bunch. And tied to it, of course, is the whole support life cycle, which varies between consumers and businesses. It varies between different SKUs of Windows 10. And so they've kind of adapted it over time. I think that both of us agree that the situation we've had this year and last year is kind of an acceptable compromise between Microsoft's very aggressive original goal to have two feature updates every year.
Three. And remember, our desire, it was going to be three.
Three originally, but they did. You know, they were doing two. They were trying to do that.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe on a more normalized schedule. So if they were going, anyway, I'm sorry, but if they were going to do this and push out the next major release to late 2021. I mean, great.
Right.
Especially if it's something truly special.
Although here's the problem, right? If you're an IT person, this kind of throws a monkey wrench into things, right? Because a lot of IT people just ignore the spring release. They just skip over it. They might have a few people in a test ring in their company on the big release in the spring, but they wait for the fall release because they think all the kinks have been ironed out by then, and that's the one that gets 30 months of support. So they all focus on the fall release. But what if next year the fall release is this new big bang release instead of like some minor thing that's been really tested throughout the year? Are you, as an IT department, like, let's bring it on. Give me the big release. No, you are not.
So since we literally have no idea what's going to happen, let's speculate, right? So I think there are two ways to look at this. One is they could push that 30-month of support release out to the spring of 2022. Okay, easy enough. But maybe what we saw with the way that 20H2 is released, there's a little bit of a clue about how they might handle 21H2, meaning that 20, what is or will not be 21H1, a minor release, will form the basis of 21H2, and that the stuff that's put on top of it for consumers might be optional for businesses with long-term support.
Right. Right. That goes with the original tip on Sun Valley, which Zach Bowden at Windows Central heard. It might be an optional UI thing that people could say, I want it or I don't want it, and that would fit in with your theory. Right.
There you go. Yeah. And that makes sense for businesses because they might not want to have a new UI, especially if it only goes out to some of their users. It'd be training involved, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. Correct. And the UI stuff, you know what I'm going to say.
Well, you know what, though?
I mean, okay, but so, like rounded corners or something, and maybe some like stuff moves into the control panel.
It's going to be even flatter. Take a steamroller to it.
But there are two big issues here. One is fit and finish matters, right? If Microsoft can make Windows 10 more consistent across the board, it will never be truly consistent, right? There's so much legacy interface in there, but more consistent than it is today. I think we can all chalk that up as a win. But I also think you can look at stuff like what Apple did over the past year with Mac OS, with Big Sur, and I guess with iOS, with whatever it is, iOS 14, where, you know, it's the same basic UI, if you know, but they prettied it up. It's just prettier, you know? I'd be happy with something like that, you know, and I think a lot of other people would be too.
And the tip also of Sun Valley involves out of inbox apps also getting a refresh so that it's more consistent and looks better with Windows, right? So, you know, if you're Panos Panay and you're running Windows, you care a lot about the UI stuff. I mean, he's a design guy.
You're pumped about the UI stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like for him, it's all about the UI and the design. Right. And, you know, so for him, that would be the main thing he would like to see cleaned up, I would assume, or one of the big things to make Windows devices look better, not just from a hardware standpoint, but from a software standpoint, right?
Yeah.
So,
This is the dream. I mean, this is the realization of that Apple envy thing that Microsoft has had for a long time, where the software and the hardware are now being created by the same basic team of people, and maybe they can do something better as a result.
Yeah. So back to the code names on the Iron Branch, right? So right now they're putting out Iron Branch builds. That doesn't mean what is in these builds is what is the next Windows release. It doesn't happen like that until it gets into the release preview and the beta channels, right? Then you're tracking it to a specific release. So right now people are not seeing a lot of new features in the Iron Channel, which is consistent with it likely being a light spring release in terms of features, right?
I mean, it's consistent with other switchovers too, right? So as a new version of Windows 10 is released and made public and put out to stable or whatever language you want to use, the fast ring at the time or the dev channel today kind of switches over to something else. And the first few builds, usually for several builds, are like this. They don't have new features that we can see anyway. And, you know, sometimes they're, you know, they're working on the servicing stack underneath or some, you know, they're doing some stuff that might be in the background that might enable, you know, some of the features we'll see later.
The thing that that they did with the first build of Iron, though, which came out last week, the first one from the Iron Branch, remember, they took out features. They actually removed features from it, which is, I don't think they've done that before, right? So they took out a lot of the things that already had been in the dev channel, and they said, we're doing this just so we can test the servicing stack and how we can move between builds and different branches. Like, that's the reason they gave for doing this, but My guess is they took out the features because what they're going to roll out in the spring is really small and it's not going to have those features.
Yeah, right. One of those things, by the way, was very visual. There was the new version of the calendar app. And I don't think I ever actually even tested it, but I wonder now if that isn't a peek at their thinking for the new look and feel. You know, the apps will look more like that thing did, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just said, "Oh, we're ceasing the preview of the new calendar app. Thanks for testing it." That's all they said. Like, that's it.
Well, we'll look at bringing it back at a later time.
Yeah. Yep.
That later time.
Yeah, that could be. That could be a new. Yeah, we'll way see. To look. My biggest question about all these code names and branches and how this plays out is, does Microsoft consider Windows 10 X part of the Iron family or not? Right. Because we think Windows 10 X is going to debut on single screen devices in the spring of 2021. So, but I don't think that's going to be lined up with the 21H1 Windows 10 build. Right. Because 10 X is not exactly Windows 10. Right. So,
but what's the latest thinking on what that's going to be, meaning Windows 10 X? In other words, we're not going to see Win32 compatibility at all. Are we going to see?
You're not.
Is that right? Okay. So unfortunately, a couple of issues there. I mean, one is I don't think that the UX from Windows 10 X was particularly good looking. Just not attractive. If you look at that as Microsoft's looking at the future, and this is what we came up with. And then you look at something like macOS Big Sur, you're like, ew. Like, I mean, there is a dramatic difference in quality between those two things, just from a look and feel perspective.
It looks like Android, right? More than anything, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, actually. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And really basic, like AOSP Android, like really, you know, ugly Android.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, this, to me, unfortunately, reminds me of Windows, what happened with Windows Phone, you know, that they did several architectural changes in the beginning as we went from 7 to 7.5 and then to 8 that actually caused a lot of problems for app developers in the Windows Phone case. And a version of Windows that doesn't run Windows apps is what? What do we call it? It's Windows 10X, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, it's Windows RT again. It's I'm a little nervous about that.
Except the thing that's going to debut alongside it, and I hear it's still tracking on time, is this cloud PC service, right? So this is the consumer service built on top of Windows Virtual Desktop called Cloud PC is the way you could potentially run Win32 apps on Windows 10X when it's at, right out of the gate.
So I'm not saying that's a bad idea. It's a good idea. But the problem with that for Microsoft or for fans of Windows is that when that thing debuts, it would work fine on a Chromebook. It would work fine on a Mac. It would work fine on an iPad. So it's not unique to Windows 10X. And why would you use this new untested thing with no apps? I mean, you know, obviously you can do the cloud apps, but when there are established platforms that may be more mature, more attractive looking, have more apps, et cetera.
Right. So the way they think about 10X is it's a new, like it's for new devices and it's a new way of thinking. So yeah, it like someday they will add Win32 support to it because they have to basically, but not for a while. But their original target, just like it was with 10S, right, is we think there's a class of people who don't really have to have Win32 apps, and those are the people we're going after with release one.
Here's what
I'm not saying that's a good idea. I'm just saying
you don't have enough time. You don't have enough time to listen to what I don't understand. But with regards to 10X, and you just think about the timing of this with regards to something like Windows 10 on ARM, right? Which you could make a pretty good argument. Maybe they should have left that thing baking in the oven for a couple of years more before they released it to the public. But now that Windows 10X isn't going to be running Win32 apps anyway, you got to kind of wonder why isn't this thing we're calling Windows 10X Windows 10 on ARM? You know, why isn't it only on ARM? Why, if you're talking about new devices that don't run Windows apps, right? I mean, one of the things that Microsoft could kind of promote for this new system is the stuff they promote now on Windows 10X, 10 for ARM, which is, you know, the incredible battery life and the 5G now, but whatever, cellular, always-on connectivity. That's a new device. But instead, what we have are these Windows 10X devices that look and work like Windows laptops, but are terrible, you know? And then we've got this other thing coming down the pike that will run on Intel hardware, but doesn't run Windows apps and looks different. Yeah. This should have been one thing.
Yeah.
I think
that's an interesting point. Yep.
You know, it's a timing problem, I'm sure, but
it is.
It seems like they should be one thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I think, like, I know people don't want to hear this, especially with Apple about to announce its own silicon based on ARM, right? But Microsoft doesn't trust ARM.
Yes. Well,
they don't, right? Like,
maybe
everything,
yeah, I agree with
everything
you.
Everything they debut comes out on Intel first still. Like, they want to have something on ARM. They want Windows on ARM to someday be good, but they don't treat it as a first class citizen right now. They don't, right? And they shouldn't.
Well, it's not. And they should, right. They're right to not treat it as first class citizen.
Yeah.
One of the problems is they're partnering with another company to make it happen.
Yeah.
And when you look at the scope of ARM devices that Qualcomm sells to, it's billions and billions of units a year.
Yeah.
And then there's this thing over in the corner that's PCs that run, PCs sell, like, you know, 200 to 300 million a year.
Yeah.
But those are real PCs. Like Windows 10 on ARM PCs are single digit millions at most, and they might even be less.
Yeah. I know.
You know, it will be, you know, for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. The thing of all of this stuff we're talking about, the thing I am the most intrigued to see is cloud PC, I have to say. Like, I'm very interested in how this works, how much it costs, because supposedly it's going to be a per month cost. Like, it's not going to be variable based on usage. It's going to be like, here's your cloud PC. You pay X dollars per user per month. Here it is, right? And Walking Cat just found, this is cool that he found this. Somehow he found the Azure server where cloud PC is hiding. That's awesome. At Microsoft. Yeah. And there's actually a splash page that says something about cloud workspaces when you go to cloud PC. So it says cloud workspaces is a cloud-based end user compute service that provides productivity, security, collaboration benefits with Microsoft 365. So that means they're going to sell this as like an adjunct to Microsoft 365, right? Like, it, which makes sense. Yep. And it also says you can use Microsoft Endpoint Manager to manage your devices. So obviously it's not going to just be like a one-off thing. Like, they're going to try to sell this big into enterprises as well and have it be managed by Endpoint Manager, right?
We've been talking for years about this fear that I think a lot of people have had that Microsoft is going to try to turn Windows into a subscription service.
Right.
And there have been little pushes in that direction here and there. Yeah. Obviously, Microsoft 365 could be viewed in that by that lens or whatever, but this is it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting that it comes at a time when Microsoft is publicly and privately talking about promoting and, you know, pushing Windows more than they have in the past. Mm-hmm. And of course, you hear that and you automatically think, well, obviously they mean their own PCs and PC Maker PCs and so forth. But increasingly, it seems like this is going to be a bigger or a big part of it as well, because this is Windows... This is Windows everywhere. This is how Windows and the apps, more importantly, literally will run anywhere.
Yeah. And the part I'm really, really, I'm surprised this thing is on time. Like, it supposedly is coming in the spring. Like, it's, people are like, yeah, is it really going to show up though in spring? Yeah. From everything I hear and people I'm talking to, yes, it is.
Yeah. Because it's coming out of Jason Zander's part of the company and not, you know, right? It's coming from the Azure.
Yeah. It's the Windows Virtual Desktop team.
Yeah. Basically. That's why.
Yeah.
It's the old server thing.
Brad Anderson. Brad Anderson's people, right? Like, he's very involved in this. So,
Yeah. There you go. Perfect. I mean,
hey, Brad, come on the show, Brad.
Yeah, really. Brad Anderson's the best. I mean, these are the adults, you know, this is the adult supervision thing. I mean, this is, I'm not, so it's, that's what they did. That's what they've always done. Yeah. That's what they do.
I know. But that to me is where things get really shaken up. Like, it's cool, add a rounded corner over here and a cute app over here, but like Windows Virtual Desktop running Windows in the cloud. Like, come on, guys. This is like the big
thing. Hold on a second, Joe. Notepad in a rounded rectangle. Think about it. Game changer.
Yeah. If they do anything to my notepad, there's going to be hell to pay. That's all I'm going to say. Just leave it. Leave it alone. It's a good app. I don't care if it has round corners.
It's all right. Paul's going to come to the rescue with his very fancy notepad.
I know.
Maybe I'll adopt round corners first.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Damn you, Farad.
Dark theme and rounded corners in one app. So that's kind of the mess of code names and like the feature updates and where we're at. Like, Microsoft's just staying silent. They're not saying anything right now.
Probably a good idea.
Are we guessing?
When will they talk about it? We look at major events, but they've come and gone.
Don't they have to talk about it when people have to get out of the dev channel? Like, when it's RTM basically for, you know, the magic window that you talk about, that's when I think they have to talk about it, right? Or maybe they talk about it when they talk about Windows on ARM. Aren't they supposed to do that in December? It's like an update with Windows on ARM or something.
Yeah, there will be a Qualcomm virtual then, obviously,
maybe,
this year.
Although that's not tied to that, but it could be a time.
No, but there's always been something, always meaning for the past 3 years. Around that,
Or they wait till January and they say, hey, it's a new year. We're going to tell you what's going on this
CES
year.
CES is in January. And by the way, Microsoft partnered with CES, right, to deliver the virtual event. Right. That's the time when PC makers announce a bunch of new devices.
It's true. Yep. Yeah, maybe you say, here's the first 10X devices and here's where we're going with Windows 10 and 10X.
But was it, I guess it was this past year, it seemed like a million years ago, but Lenovo and I think Dell and maybe one other company announced Windows 10X devices, right? They didn't really say Windows 10X, but they were like, you know, some future version of Windows. And I, at some point, Lenovo at least said, I think it was the ThinkPad Fold, this will run Windows 10 Pro or it will run Windows 10X.
Yeah. And then, wasn't that though? That was when 10X was going to be a dual screen play out of the gate, right?
And then, and then sometime in the middle of the year, it was like, well, it'll be Windows 10 Pro.
So they're just keeping it close to the vest right now. If I'm an IT pro, I'm a little worried about that. Like, I think they need information sooner rather than later for planning purposes. But
I agree. Completely agree. But they know, like, Microsoft knows this. They've never done anything stupid. They'll be fine.
I mean, I'm sure they want an element of surprise for 10X. Like, when 10X comes out, they want to be like, ta-da, here it is on single screen. Like, we haven't really shown it since we showed you the dual screen thing, but blah.
That's right? Good. The surprise when that happens should be that the UI looks very different because what we've seen so far is unimpressive.
I mean, I want it to look like the launcher app. That's what I want it to look like.
The Microsoft.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's this past year, again, it feels like a million years ago, but a few months ago, they switched over Launcher from, I think, 5.x to 6.x, and it was completely re-architected. And I don't think they ever actually said this, but the feeling was, this is clearly going to be the Duo interface.
Right.
And it wasn't. It just wasn't like it's different. So,
Speaking of ARM, were we?
Yes, we were.
Yes, I know. as you know, my Apple on Tuesday is going to ship its first Apple Silicon laptops. Still unknown, really, how well Windows will run on them. I don't think Boot Camp is going to be part of it, so it'll have to run an emulation.
I think they've explicitly said Boot Camp is not going to be available. Yeah. Right? Which, by the way, makes sense. It's 2020.
Yeah, Parallels and VMware will both run on it, so you can run it in that way. And there's a hypervisor, so maybe it'll be fine.
By the way, there's a million questions about this, but with regards to that, what you were just talking about and Parallels and Windows compatibility, et cetera, one of the really interesting things is going to be whether this thing runs 64-bit Windows virtually or if it's only 32-bit.
Yeah.
Right? Because we've run into that problem on the Windows 10 on ARM side with Qualcomm. I know a lot of people watching the show or listening here are not necessarily fans of Apple, and I get that. But I collectively, and not Mary Jo is a huge fan. She is. If you could pan around and see Apple posters everywhere, it's disgusting in there. It's like an Apple store. But if you care about Windows at all or Microsoft or whatever, this announcement and what they're going to do and the products they're going to release and what the performance is like and the compatibility and all that stuff should be fascinating to you. Mm-hmm. It should be of great interest because this bears very strongly on what we're seeing on the Microsoft side with Windows 10 and ARM. And I think most people would agree hasn't gone so great.
Yeah.
But every indication we get from this Apple thing is like they're going gangbusters. Somehow and we'll see. That's the thing. Like, we have to see it. We have to know for sure. But it seems like they've done something right. So it's just...
The reason I brought it up is you said, Mary Jo, that Microsoft's not fond of ARM. And it hasn't been a good experience for them. But I'm wondering...
I mean, they want to
It's a sideshow.
It's not a big deal.
You got to remember, you know, Terry Myerson said to me that the reason this product exists is because he wanted to get the Intel stickers off of all the laptops. He hates those stickers. And he just wanted Intel to have some viable competition. And at that time, and this is several years ago now, AMD was, in his words, circling the drain. Now, that is not the situation today, but the reality of the market is that when you look at power efficiency and the whole performance per watt metric or whatever, ARM is taking over the world. It just is. It's inevitable. And so we can all quibble about whether or not how are they ever going to come out with an ARM-based Mac Pro or MacBook Pro, blah, 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 whatever. Whatever. Like, it's going to happen, guys. You know, Microsoft was right to at least look into this and get Windows moving in this direction. I think the criticism I have is that maybe, like I said earlier, I think they released it a little early. I don't think it was ready. I don't think it's ready today. You know, Apple waited. And we'll see.
when they released it, there was so much fanfare, right? And there was so much momentum, and they kept saying, like, we're okay, this is early days, but like, we're full steam ahead. And then it just stalled, Windows on ARM, yeah. right? Like,
yep.
for a year, we didn't hear anything pretty much about it. And I'm like, are they still doing it? Are they still working on it?
This
like,
it just went drops silent. Off the face of the earth for at least 9 months every year. Yep. This happens all every year, not just that first year, every year. And I there's all kinds of headwind problems here. You hear things like always connected PCs. You're like, oh, do I need like an ARM PC to, you know, no, that's on Intel too. Well, okay, but it gets like 20 hours of battery life or more than 20 hours, or in the case of the Microsoft product, 15 hours of battery life. Like, oh, do I need to get a Qualcomm device to get that kind of battery? No, that happens on Intel too. Okay, so what's the benefit? Like, the thing doesn't run all the apps I want? I mean, like, you kind of run into a... Yeah. I guess the benefit is you don't have fans. You know, these devices can be thinner and lighter, and that might be the end.
But none of the other promises have come through. Like all the things you think about ARM being great for, they don't exist on Windows. Like they're just okay.
Well, but
they're
is the problem great. Qualcomm more than it is ARM?
I don't think it's fair to blame either company. I think it's just the nature of the fact that Microsoft makes the software platform and they do their work.
Right.
Qualcomm has its hardware platform and they do their work. And to date, Qualcomm has scaled down to devices that are much smaller and don't have the backward compatibility issues that Windows has. They don't have this established software platform that has to run, you know?
Just to add a historical perspective, I remember very well the days when Andy Grove was the CEO of Intel and Bill Gates still CEO at Microsoft, where they were at odds. You know, Andy Grove accused Microsoft of, you know, not building software that lived up to the hardware. I'm sure Microsoft felt the same way about Intel. This is not an unusual position to be in. In fact, it's kind of the way it is. Yeah. That's why it's so interesting to see Apple say, well, what if we made both hardware and software? What would that look like? Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what the phone and the iPad have been, but we haven't seen it on the desktop yet. And I think that's going to be very interesting.
This, again, they're first. They do this sometimes. Apple's good at this kind of thing. The world is changing. And it makes sense that the minority platform, the PC, or in their case, the Mac, is the one that has to kind of come along with where the rest of the world's going. We're not going to make phones that are like PCs that have little vents on the side and fans blowing out the top and stuff like that. Like that doesn't make any sense. But if we could have laptops that were like that, that would be cool. Assuming it ran all the software, the performance was good, right? I mean, that's the catch. And so that's what they're working on.
That's the big unknown.
Right. It is. Yeah.
And I have to say that, low power, better thermals, are going to be a big part of better performance, because how many laptops do you have where You're throttled. You've got a fast chip in that, but it's never going to operate at full speed for very long because of the heat problems.
I have laptops that I review where you install software, and that triggers the fans kicking in. No, seriously. Like,
oh my God, they're going to run that?
It's like,
no, it's true.
You know, I'm installing like, you know, Edge, relax. But for some reason, this is I get it. Like the computer I'm using here is kind of, it's an Intel actually NUC, but it's a tiny little PC. And as small as this thing is, if this was running on Qualcomm chips or ARM chips or whatever, it could be half the size.
Yeah.
No fans, you know, silent, tiny. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. More learnings coming up in just a little bit. I love that. But first, a word from our sponsor, NetSuite from Oracle. This is a really interesting product for us, especially. You know, Lisa has a 49-inch monitor because in order to do our books and, you know, the financial close and all that, she's got 8 different things open and is going back and forth, a spreadsheet and QuickBooks and blah, blah, blah. Wouldn't it be nice if one thing gave you visibility over everything, your financials, your HR, your inventory, your e-commerce, and more, all in one place instantaneously? That's NetSuite. And I bet you, I know Lisa knows, you I'm sure know that using QuickBooks and spreadsheets and all the other tools is slowing you down. If you're tired of working on multiple platforms and having 49-inch screens just so you can see everything at once, you would love NetSuite. Take your business to the next level. Running a fast-growing, small or medium-sized business is not easy. This is a solution that's constantly evolving to meet your needs. No wonder NetSuite's the world's number one cloud business system, but I'm on a mission because there's a lot of people who don't know about it, who don't know how much they could benefit, who are still suffering. I want to end suffering. It's just me. I'm that kind of guy. NetSuite gives you cloud-based solutions, streamlines mission-critical business processes, reduces IT costs, and lets you easily scale and future-proof your business with an agile business platform that evolves as your needs change. You'll be closing with confidence. This will speed up the financial close. And of course, what's great is you'll maintain compliance with accounting standards. You'll be reporting with accuracy. And in finance, accuracy is everything. Drill down into the underlying details. Understand what's impacting your business. Save time, save money, get real-time information. Improve your business's performance. Because if you're seeing real-time metrics, if you can see how things are doing, you can look at those role-based dashboards. You set it up just what you want. You'll never again be in the dark about where your business is headed, where your money's going, what's happening. That's what you want. Put you in charge. Give you some examples. Commvault. NetSuite was a perfect switch for Commvault. They turned to NetSuite's cloud solution as a platform that could dramatically reduce complexity, provide much-needed agility in their business. The Suite Cloud, they were using the Suite Cloud development platform so that Commvault could develop their own unique processes, and they could integrate it with third-party cloud applications. Apps from NetSuite partners round out the company's updated environment. Another example, SolarWinds. They say, we needed more than just a good accounting solution. We had to responsibly manage growth, and NetSuite provided the business application infrastructure to do just that. Stop paying for multiple systems. It's not just money. There's a cognitive price to have all of that stuff open at once. Get NetSuite. NetSuite delivers what others can't. No wonder 22,000 companies are already using NetSuite. Why aren't you? Let NetSuite show you how they can benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/ww. netsuite.com/ww. Free product tour right now. They'll show you all the ins and the outs. You'll get a really good sense of what it can do. No pressure. Just find out what is out there. You owe it to yourself and your company. NetSuite.com/ww for Widows Weekly.
What? Why did you switch into like a George H.W. Bush?
Because I said W. W.
Wouldn't be prudent.
Wouldn't be prudent. My boy, W. Let's chat a little bit about earnings. Were of course last week, and we talked a lot about it. But we now have other companies coming in, including Amazon, Apple, Google, Facebook. Everybody's, you know, it was kind of a big week for
it
earnings.
Was.
Last week. Like, it was one day last week. I was like, I wrote up, you know,
Thursday.
I'm like, all right, great,
crazy.
And then I check my feed. I'm like, oh, Apple announced. Okay,
and
cool.
Apple.
And I was like, oh,
right.
Amazon.
And Amazon. I know. On? All of them on Thursday. I was glad Microsoft did Tuesday last week. Right. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
So remember that Microsoft, what was Microsoft? Microsoft's revenues had to have been, what, 37, 38 billion somewhere.
They were sweet.
Yeah.
They were good.
Yeah, they were good. Yep.
All three of these companies made more than Microsoft. This is crazy to me. Google, $40.5 billion, right? Apple didn't even launch new iPhones in the quarter. $64.7 billion.
Wow.
But the killer here to me, Amazon, $96 billion. That's more than or as much as Microsoft and Google combined, right? What is going on with these companies? Obviously, the pandemic is helping out quite a bit here.
Well, but the tech sector in general is doing well. I mean, they're all doing well.
Mm-hmm. But you know what the difference is between, well, certainly Apple and Google and the difference between those two companies and Microsoft is that they're still very much one product companies. They're working to fix that for sure. I don't know if I have it here in front of me, but I think 83.4% of Google's revenues were derived from advertising through its search business, of course, right? And for the iPhone, I might not have done that math on that. Yeah, actually 41% of Apple's total revenues. That's way down, by the way. It used to be north of 70%. So they got a big push this quarter from Mac because of the pandemic. iPad probably services, definitely services is now their second biggest business, right? This kind of incredible.
This was a graphic from Inside. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Oh, I don't have my... John, can you give me my my computer screen? I don't have
my... Can you give me my graphic?
I need to show... I got... I don't have my... yeah, there you go. Thank you, John. I thought this was really kind of fun. This is the size, relative size of companies in market cap, not earnings. So Google's market cap, half of Apple's market cap. Mm-hmm. Walmart's market cap, 4 Walmarts equal 1 Amazon. Yeah. 8 Lyfts equal 1 Uber. 10 Zooms equal 1 Microsoft.
By the way, I'm surprised it's not more than 10 Zooms.
I know. That's actually a testament to the growth of Zoom this last six months. Twitter... 20 Twitters equal 1 Facebook. But if you compare Microsoft with a market cap of $1.58 trillion, they're pretty close to Amazon.
Under Amazon. Here's the thing. So Apple's two. I don't know when this data was taken. I know Apple got a little bit of a hit to market cap because of the iPhone numbers weren't so high, which is ridiculous. They shouldn't be.
No, and they'll get it back next quarter because that's when the iPhone sales.
Yeah, this quarter is going to be fantastic. Yeah. But you know what? I mean, you have to look at Amazon and think this is going to be the biggest company in the world soon. They're going to overtake Apple. They're just—it's
inconceivable. And we often talk about Walmart being a competitor, but no.
Yeah.
Amazon's four
Walmart
times the size.
Walmart is like the it's like Eddie's convenience store down in the corner. You want to get that straw that's full of sugar?
Yeah.
And just suck on that for some reason. Like that's a thing you buy. that's where you get it.
Don't forget, though, they're partnering with Oracle and TikTok, so, you know.
Well.
Oh, yeah, they'll be fine.
I don't know. You know, by the way, like that just puff of smoke disappeared.
I know. It did. Like, what's happening with that, right?
A judge ruled, it was supposed to be November 12th that they pulled the plug. Judge said, no, you can't do that. And I love the judge. This is Judge Beadlestone, by the way. I love her name. Judge Beadlestone. I'm just going to keep saying
what happens if you say her name three times?
She appears. Oh, Your Honor, please. Judge Beadlestone, I thought this was really interesting. She said, actually, if you pull the plug on them, and the idea was the Commerce Department would say no more financial transactions with this company. You can't run their servers. She said, if you pull the plug, this is going to really disadvantage all these influencers who are making a living on TikTok. That was the rationale. Not that. There's no evidence they're a bad company. It doesn't make any sense. Why should the U.S. be able to do that anyway? But, you know, just think of the TikTokers.
They're so vital to our economy.
Think of the TikTokers. Anyway, that's up in smoke, that whole thing. I don't know. Yeah. You know.
I don't know either. Yeah. I'm like, what is happening there?
Walmart, TikTok, and Oracle. There's a match
breakfast
made in heaven.
Of champions.
Holy cow! It's like putting peanut butter cups in your
whiskey.
It's putting some Fruit Loops in your peanut butter whiskey, and then you're putting a peanut butter cup in it.
That actually sounds pretty good. You know what would be good is peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
I think that exists, doesn't it?
I know in the whiskey. I mean.
Oh, put it in the
You know, like as a garnish.
As a garnish.
Not a savage.
I mean, instead of an olive or an onion. No. I put six.
What's that little, is that a blueberry or something?
I put six blueberries on a toothpick and put it in my peanut butter.
It's really hard to get them on there without breaking them.
I was at the store. I actually looked for the peanut butter whiskey. They didn't have it. But I know BevMo does, right?
I
could drizzle
it's nationally distributed. It's from California. You should be able to find it.
Yeah, I just wait. Maybe it's at the grocery store, and they have a lot. You know, they have Whistle Pig and stuff. I thought they'd have that, but what is it called? Steeplechase? What's it called?
No, it's what is the name of it? Oh boy,
you forget. You drink enough of it, you forget.
I know. I can picture the label in my. I'm looking for it. Let's see. It's called Screwball Whiskey.
Screwball.
Yeah.
I might have to go on drizzle. Get me some Screwball.
Listen, I'm just all. If you like peanut butter, this is
and who doesn't, right?
I know, but who doesn't? It's just it's dangerous.
Then I talk to people like Aunt Pruitt, who's a whiskey fan. He says that's the most disgusting thing I've ever.
So I have a friend who makes whiskey. And his reaction to this was, he said, what this tells me is that it it's must be really terrible
it's
whiskey.
It's terrible whiskey. Exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about. It goes down like fruit juice.
It's the Boone's Farm of whiskeys is what it is.
Yeah. It's a ripple. That's a selling point.
It's the ripple of whiskeys. Anything else to say about the earnings? Any other deep insights you got, Paul?
We looked up at ZDNet. My boss Larry Dignan looked across all the earnings, and he said the one thing I see pretty consistently across these first earnings that we're hearing this quarter is IT spending on premises is down, which isn't surprising. But up till now, it really hasn't been down, and the takeaway is everybody's going to the cloud. No big surprise, yep. Right? But up till now, IT, the companies have still been spending on IT for on-premises and local use, but that seems to be waning a little, and that goes in line with Microsoft's OEM Pro numbers being down too for the quarter.
I think you can see it on the server side too, right? I mean, the server business was basically flat.
Starting to go down.
I think for the first time ever.
Yeah. So it's like kind of like no huge surprise to people who've been following along, but it's finally happening.
It's good to have data to support that. I mean, as terrible as the pandemic is, I think accelerating the move to the cloud is not going to be a terrible thing overall. You know,
I don't want to say those words that I hate so much, digital transformation. But I'm trying to stay away from those words.
I think it's a little more tech intensity than digital transformation.
No,
but I see what you're saying.
Another terrible thing to say. But otherwise, you know, it's just like people are using more and more cloud services because it makes financial sense, it makes security sense, and people working
from
home.
You need a wallpaper that's like a street sign where the two streets are digital transformation and tech intensity, because that is the corner that you live at.
That's the perfect corner.
Yeah, actually, that's the Steve Jobs slide. The intersection was it arts and science?
Liberal arts and science or something.
Yeah. Technology. Screwball whiskey and Chambord.
And s'mores.
That sounds good.
I know, guys.
Is there a marshmallow liqueur I could add?
Oh, you know there is.
Of course there is.
I need a liqueur that tastes imperial like fluff. Stout.
There you go. That sounds good. That sounds good.
Geez.
I don't know what it is, but since last night I've had the urge to drink more. I don't know what that
is. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
I didn't think that could happen this year, but here it is.
I was telling Paul, I was up at 10:30 making cookies, just stress baking last night. Let me make cookies.
I literally copied down a snickerdoodle recipe thinking I'm going to be making snickerdoodles, but we passed out before the snickerdoodle time. Maybe tonight. Snickerdoodles. Maybe tonight. On-prem IT spending.
Yeah, it's going down.
Of course it is, because cloud.
Tech intensity.
Cloud, the intersection of 4th and Main.
There's nothing tech intense about an on-prem server. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you know, a number of our advertisers, that's what they're advertising against. You know, that's what Wasabi says. Why would you buy on-prem storage when you can save money in the cloud?
This was always, even back at the beginning when it was probably what was that originally called? Office 365 productivity on-prem or online services or whatever. Whatever the original name of that thing was, they were, you know, the marketing line was, well, I mean, why would you manage your own Exchange servers? Let Microsoft do it. They made the product.
Well, that's the worst thing ever, too, to have to manage.
I know, but I'm not saying that's the smartest thing.
They made the product so opaque and unusable.
So that we need antivirus on top of it.
Why would you want to manage it? These yeah. Why don't let us suffer?
Sure.
The objection usually is, well, I don't know, it's, I can look at it, so it must be it's secure. It's safe. What if the internet goes down? I guess, you know, we've certainly seen cloud services, including Microsoft, suffer.
Lots of outages.
Yeah. So all of those are reasonable, but it seems like those are kind of going away somewhat. Yes?
I think a lot. Every time there's an outage, you still have people on Twitter saying, see, this is why I was about to do Microsoft 365, but...
Look, this is going to happen in any transition. You know, it's the horse owner complaining about all the problems with cars or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's never 100%. It's never, you know, always all net positive, of course. But I don't know. To me, the transition to the cloud, for all the downsides, it's inevitable. It's obvious. It's happening.
It's inevitable. It's obvious that you will move to the cloud.
Yep.
It's very nice.
If only we had Broadway, this could become the next thing.
I still miss the, and I, in fact, every time I say to the cloud, I think of that Microsoft ad where the woman's in her house and the stuff that emerges from the wall to the cloud. I always think of that. Always.
Microsoft marketing is the apex.
Right there. Number one.
God, we want to be cool and we just can't
just
do
can't
it.
Do it. Oh, that's so Microsoft.
It is. It's Microsoft. Perfect. That's perfect. That commercial is perfect, yeah. Microsoft.
That will be one we'll be playing 20 years from now. Going, remember that, remember those days? To the cloud.
Be like Alex Trebek would be like, what company had the marketing slogan,
to the cloud? Microsoft has had some terrible...
Someone will be like, Sears and Roebuck?
Marketing slogan. Windows does that? Windows does that? Yeah. Windows does that? Yeah. Windows does that?
Microsoft. Where do you want to go today?
Windows
7 or whatever that was.
It's like it's your cab driver.
Where do you want to go today?
Where do you want to go today, lady?
To the Apple Store, please.
Up, down, please. Apple Store. Apple Store, Fifth Avenue, please.
Take me to the Apple
Step
Store.
On it. Yep. All right.
You
we haven't.
Jalopy can get me there.
I'm punchy. I now realize.
I know.
Punchy.
We all are. Yeah. Huh? We're all working on like 4 hours of sleep.
I'm a little bit like Garfield. I just brought an entire lasagna to work with me and I'm eating it.
Nice. Just going to just plow through it.
It's called, it's grief eating.
Get in 6 hours and you're going to have like sauce all over your shirt.
Microsoft 365. We haven't said enough about Teams today.
That's true.
No.
Let's do it.
Okay. We needed some good news today, and this morning we got some. I cannot overstate how big a deal this is, even though it sounds small. So Teams is going to get something called multi-account sign-in, which means you can be signed into Teams and switch between accounts from a single Teams account. Right now, you can't do this unless you do a workaround. Like you can do incognito tabs and there's all these other weird ways to do this. But this is one of my biggest pet peeves about Teams. And I guess I'm not alone since over 300 people have liked and retweeted this when I heard about this today.
Well, Mary Jo, you have witnessed the problem with this feature not being there. So Microsoft has Ignite and they say, hey, we're going to hook you all up with Teams access.
Yep.
And you already have a Teams account that you're using with Teams, but the account they give you is a different account.
Email. Yep.
Horrible. And so the workaround a lot of people do is they use a browser.
I know. And I even tried using the incognito tab thing, but it didn't work for me either that way. And so this is going to be amazing. And the best part, it's on the roadmap for coming in December. So next month, it's not like way out there. It's like they actually are going to have it in December, they think, across all their clouds, including government cloud. The people who are the glass half empty people on Twitter are like, yeah, I asked them for this in 2016. Nice that they're finally coming up with it. But I'm like,
it has literally been in the Microsoft 365, request list or whatever since 2017. It literally has been 3 years. So
I know. So I'm sure it is a hard computer science problem to make this happen, but I'm really happy to see it's happening and happening soon. So
you probably remember this, but you can do this currently on mobile with a personal account, right? So you can do a work in person, right? But this is for multiple work, any type of account.
Desktop. Like
This is
desktop accounts. Yep.
And on desktop.
So yay. I couldn't believe it. It just showed up in the roadmap yesterday quietly, the Microsoft 365 roadmap. And I was like, oh, unbelievable. I had kind of given up on them ever doing it. I'm like, there must be a reason they can't do it or don't want to do it. Maybe there's a security reason. I don't know, but.
Well, no. What does it mean? I don't really understand.
So,
what's the workflow look like?
So you're signed into Teams with some email. It might be your Microsoft email or another email.
Right. I have two.
And then, so then suddenly you need to access Teams from a different account because somebody needs to communicate with you through a different email. Right?
With Google, you just, there's a drop down and you add another account.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Not with Teams.
Well, that's not doesn't work like that.
What do you have to sign out and sign in?
No.
You have to sign out and.
Oh, now you do.
Not anymore.
Not with this feature.
No.
Right.
That's good.
It's very, very
common is that? I mean, I would think if you're a business, you have your business account.
I literally have three Teams accounts.
Wow.
So, I mean, so this is actually,
might have work and personal would be the most common.
Work, personal. And then, Microsoft gave us one that they use for events, unfortunately. But it's.
And then I have your BWW one. So I have a different one for you guys. Like, there's.
Oh, that's
I
just true. If you're a freelancer, you'd have an account with every different.
I have a bunch.
So the reason to have feared that this was never going to happen is that Microsoft has never been able. Well, remember, I don't remember what it was. A long time ago, probably when Hotmail was still called Hotmail or something, there used to be a thing in the web interface where you could go and choose a different account to switch around. And so a lot of people have multiple Microsoft accounts. And, you want to check your mail at one, check your mail at the other one, whatever it is. You could switch them. And then one day they turned it off. And you had to do the same workaround we're talking about now in incognito tab or a different browser or whatever it is, sign in with different accounts. And why haven't they ever been able to fix that? Also, the ability just to merge accounts or migrate an account to a different account or whatever it is. Like, this stuff does not exist in the Microsoft account space. So the fact that they were able to get, like, multi-account support going in this app is actually kind of huge because there's good established experience to suggest this would never happen. So this is really good news.
Yeah. I know. I really thought there must be a technical reason they can't do it because it seemed like hundreds of people in User Voice were asking for this. Like, I'm like, they're not just ignoring these people. There's some reason that they can't do this, right?
Yep. So, some technical limitation.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And it's a server side issue, I'm sure, not a software issue. It's like,
it is weird moving, but Mary Jo, you probably run into this too. You have a Microsoft account, which is like a personal account, and then you have an Office 360 or a Microsoft 365 commercial account, which is a work account, technically, whatever. Mm-hmm. Switching between those accounts on the web is ponderous.
Mm-hmm. It is. Right. So when I go to office.com, I'm always like, which account am I signed in with right now? And like, do I need to be in the other one?
Don't use the same account picture because that's how you can tell. It's
That is how it's I actually, do it. Two different account
it's
pictures.
Problematic. Yep.
Well, this is good. That's about time they solved that one.
Yes.
I saw this story. Microsoft's Excel is getting database features. A lot of people use Microsoft Excel basically as a database with rows, but now, so what is the difference? Is it like a mini Access now? What is?
they're adding, so there aren't that many data types that you currently can use inside of Excel,
right?
But now they're adding hundreds of new data types.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So they've got a partnership with Wolfram Alpha to add things like chemistry, nutrition, zip codes.
Whoa. Genetics. Oh, these are live. This is live data then.
Yeah.
It's like you can think of it as custom data types.
So
custom,
you could have a stock spreadsheet that would have current stock stuff you'd be pulling from Wolfram Alpha like that. Is that?
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah.
And then Microsoft itself, without Wolfram, is adding its own customer data types into Excel. So you can hook up Excel to Power BI and do all kinds of crazy new things because they're going to be adding these new data types.
That's cool.
So, Excel doesn't get a lot of changes. It's kind of like Notepad. You don't want a lot of changes in Excel. Right?
Excel. It's kind of like Notepad. There's another great
Microsoft
You want
it to just
slogan.
Work. you don't it's really need a lot
very
of
much,
rounded
It's
corners.
Almost identical to Notepad, I think. Is
it is, right? But now they're adding all these new data types, and people who are Excel jockeys really care about this a lot.
I think this is kind of cool. It's moved the spreadsheet from its original origins, which is just a numeric calculator, to a dashboard. It could be an executive dashboard.
Which, by the way, it's still exciting enough, right? This notion that you could have rows and columns of data, you change one number, the whole thing updates. It's incredible, right?
That's fantastic.
You had formulas and functions, and it gets really powerful. Yeah. But that's why the reason
I would love VisiCalc, Paul. It's just
you know, I can't wait. I'm still kind of a DBase 3+ kind of guy.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. There you go.
No, I mean, I'm not going to remember the time frame, but at some point, SQL Server added the ability to have custom data types, right? And what do you call it? Like blob type data, which is, you know, I don't know what it is.
Anyway, that's the thing. Do you really need custom data types, or just need to be? I mean, in programming, you have the basic data types, and then you build data types from
This is kind of, it's like an object-oriented thing that you have. You might
inheritance
special vertical markets. You might have specific types of data that are for your industry or your company, and now you can do things with them in Excel.
Ah, so you could have polymorphism, and you could have inheritance. You could have some of those.
I mean, I'm not sure if it's literally object-oriented, but that's how I in my
That's interesting. Sort of
Think of,
The way they talked about it in their blog post was Excel today is 2D, and this is going to make it 3D. That's kind of the metaphor that they use for that.
That's a terrible.
I'm going to wait until it goes HDR.
That's a terrible metaphor. That's such a terrible metaphor.
Excel HD. That's what you should call it.
Excel, now with HoloLens, goggles.
Well, maybe that's where they're headed,
There are no more pixels.
So when is that going to happen? Because I wouldn't mind playing with that just to see.
Yeah, when is that happening?
I think it's pretty much rolling out, isn't it?
I think it's rolling out now, right?
Okay.
I don't think this is like six months from now. I think it's happening.
I don't either. Cool. Yeah, it says it'll be available in the current channel soon for all Microsoft 365, Office 365 subscribers.
That's smart. They should do things like that.
Yeah.
Because that will encourage people to subscribe instead of buying it from a box.
Rather than use the free version on the web.
Or the free version on the web.
Yeah.
Okay. Cloud for healthcare.
This has the feeling of a Mary Jo trying to push back the Xbox stuff as much as she can.
I know. You know, I could talk about this for a half hour.
It's a partner deal. I could tell. Xbox. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. So Microsoft said at Build, I believe it was, that they're going to have vertical cloud offerings. So right now you've got Azure. Azure is just like this horizontal cloud for any industry, but what Microsoft's going to do is take Azure, take Dynamics, take Office 365, Microsoft 365, and kind of fine-tune it for different vertical businesses. And the first one they're doing that for is healthcare, which isn't surprising given what's going on in the world. And this Microsoft Cloud for Healthcare, as they call it, is now generally available. So if you look at what this thing can do, it can do kind of everything. It does like electronic data records for patients and connecting them up between doctors, and it can track coronavirus data. There's like unlimited things they can do. Bots are part of it. Everything's part of this thing. But it's kind of interesting to me that they're going vertical with this. It fits in with their sales strategy, which is to sell into vertical markets. But it also kind of pulls along Dynamics, which needs a little help. As everyone knows who hears me kvetch about Dynamics all the time. it's just, it's out there now. If you want to kick the tires, if you're somebody in the healthcare field, especially Microsoft partner, because they're partnering with a lot of hospitals and people who are collecting research data for healthcare purposes, this is now available for purchase from Microsoft. So there you go. And now that's all I could delay the next segment.
Nope, I can help. I'm going to do an ad.
Yes.
Take that, Therat. No, I'm just as excited about the Xbox stuff as
you are. Ad.
I want to hear more about it. My final strategy now is getting up at midnight on release day.
You're still trying to get it.
And ordering on Target online for pickup that day.
I might be able to help you.
Oh. Okay.
There's a guy. Let me see if I can find this.
See if you can find the guy.
You know a guy.
I'm going to do that with a PS5 for sure because it's the 12th. I even have a reminder to wake me up at midnight on the 12th. And then I will leap
on the 12th?
The 12th.
For what?
The PS5.
Oh, okay.
So, but I mean, I want both, but I'm going to get the Xbox for me.
You don't want to wake up on the 12th of the Xbox.
What day is the Xbox?
10th.
So I'll wake up on the 10th for the Xbox. Boy, I'm not going to get much sleep in the next few days. I'll wake up on the 10th at midnight and then order. Because I think what's happening is there's going to be pallets of them at these stores, especially up here where nobody lives, in the rural stores. And then if you go down right at midnight and maybe you can order one for day, pick up that day, you might have a shot at it, is what I'm saying.
There you go. Yep.
That's my thought. I just gave away my strategy.
Uh-oh. Now everyone's going to be doing it.
But all you have to worry about is everyone in Petaluma.
Right.
You know?
Right. Or people who are willing to drive to Petaluma. Right.
Yeah, people who...
Our show today brought to you by... Oh, you're going to like this, you Teams folk. Do you know who Bandwidth is? This was such an eye-opener. I was on the phone with them. And they said, oh, yeah, you use it. I said, "What? I don't even know what... I know what Bandwidth is generically. No, the company Bandwidth. You use it. I said, what? Mm-hmm. They said, do you use Google Voice? I said, yep, Bandwidth. They're the CLEC. They're the carrier, the telecom carrier for many of the things you use. They Grand Central, well, before Google bought it, used Bandwidth for their telecom back end. Google bought it, still uses it. In fact, Google uses Bandwidth in almost every kind of telecom that they do, even in the offices. It's really interesting. Now, this one is for Teams users. If you're moving to Microsoft Teams, Bandwidth's Duet for Microsoft Teams empowers you with software-driven SIP, dynamic E911, and industry-leading expertise to simplify your move. 911 is pretty important when you're using a VoIP kind of solution, and that's one of the things Bandwidth really specializes in. And it's part of Bandwidth's Duet for Teams. That's their Teams product. It provides accurate 911 caller information for Microsoft Teams users. And you may say, well, I don't need that, but you might, because you might have compliance. There is compliance regulations in many, many, many businesses. And they're complicated, these E91 regulations. So if you're migrating to Teams, you want to make sure your bases are covered, and that's why you want Duet from Bandwidth. You could solve for advanced E11 needs like capturing precise location information at call time. I mean, after all, you don't want to call the fire department and say, I'm somewhere south of 5th Street and north. You got to have the exact location. Duet leverages dynamic location capabilities with Microsoft Teams to identify a user's location at the time of the call. It natively routes those 911 calls across Bandwidth secure, geographically redundant, highly reliable nationwide network to solve compliance concerns. And oh, by the way, it's not just compliance, it's about employee safety. Yes. So it does that. It also will allow you to simplify direct routing migrations. If your organization's considering direct routing, Bandwidth Duet for Microsoft Teams gives you greater control and value by helping you decouple your telephony from Teams. At some point, you're going to go, this is better than our telephony. You get the advantages of working directly with a cloud-native carrier. You get all the benefits, including failover control, call forwarding, real-time reroutes, and it's all on the Teams platform. With Duet for Teams, you'll save 40% compared to Microsoft's calling plans. You know about Ray Baum's Act? I didn't know about it. They explained it to me. It requires a dispatchable location. Location dispatch can say, go to the street address. Plus, you're in a building, additional data like the floor, the suite, the room, all of that. You need that. That's required by Ray Baum's Act. With Bandwidth's unlimited 933 testing capabilities, you can verify that your location information meets compliance standards without making a live 911 call, which is not a good idea, burdening public safety. So they have 933 testing. Plus, you'll have a migration partner, not just a provider. They're really a really great partner. Dedicated onboarding specialists so that you can get help executing your plan. A 24/7 knock. expert support teams will accelerate the migration and be with you every step of the way. You can group your users into logical cohorts like location or department. That way you could schedule and trigger ports for these individual groups, but also seamlessly roll back if you ever need to. I'm getting kind of in the nitty-gritty at this point. What you really should do is call Bandwidth. They provide great support. That's really one of the things that distinguishes them from the other guys. And they prove it because they're the easiest to work with. Their white glove customer support touts a 9.8 customer satisfaction rating. Simplify your telecom migrations. Solve for regulatory requirements with a single cloud-native carrier Bandwidth Duet for Microsoft Teams. You want a proof of concept? Just go to bandwidth.com/WW. Bandwidth.com/WW. I'm really pleased, Mary Jo, especially, that we're starting to see these enterprise companies say, you know what, this is a great place to reach the audience we want. And it's thanks to you, Mary Jo, really, because Paul's useless.
Yeah, he is.
I have no retort to that.
It's really kind of exciting for me because it opens up a whole new area for us. And these guys, it's so funny because, you know, I understand the technology and, you know, they're a CLEC. I understand all that, but I've never heard of them. And once
I've never heard of them either.
Yeah, but so. You know what? You look into it. You use them all the time. So many companies use Bandwidth, but it's infrastructure that, you know, that's actually kind of what you want. You don't ever need to know the name because it just works. Mm-hmm. Bandwidth.com/WW. Take a look at their Duet for Microsoft Teams. That's not their only product, though, but that'd be a good one for you Teams users.
You know what? There's a whole industry around Teams. Like an app, they have their
Isn't
own app
interesting?
Store. Yeah. I mean, it's just a whole business in and of itself.
Well, and I hadn't realized, but people, that's their telephony solution for some companies. I mean, that's what they're doing for telephony, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's really interesting. And why not? You know, why have all these redundant systems?
I know, right?
If you can get a reliable system and use the tool that everybody wants to use and then just, you know, get rid of the...
Guys, I know what's happening here, okay?
We're trying to delay this as much as possible.
Okay, everybody.
I see what you're doing.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
Yes, Teams is fantastic.
It's time to talk about Dynamics. Oh, no. It's time to talk about Paul Thurrott's special fascination. Are you still embargoed? Can you even talk about that?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what I can talk about. I am embargoed.
So obviously you are, or you would talk about it.
I mean, presumably.
that is some embargo, I'll tell you.
Just nod twice.
Well, you know, I'm trying to respect
the
letter and the spirit.
The first rule of Fight Club is
exactly
honor the embargo.
Is reviewing an Xbox or shit.
So can you say when the reviews are coming?
I'm not sure if I can. I will say this. So the
order day is the 10th. We are now less than a week away. So soon, probably next three or four or five days.
Yeah, it's going to be soon.
Typically, companies lift the embargo a couple of days before the sell date.
Yep. So you can feel the tension in the air, Leo.
It's crackling.
There's a lot of... So, you know, it's interesting.
Is Teams available on Xbox? Can you get Teams? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can you get Teams on Xbox?
Can you get Xbox and Teams?
Yeah.
You could probably, no. Well, actually, eventually, probably, yeah, sure,
yeah,
why not?
In the meantime.
It'll be one of the targets for xCloud.
Yep.
I mean, you could run the web client on the Xbox. I mean, that would work. I don't know why you would do that. But
sorry, I derailed you. Nobody cares. Keep going.
Yeah. So, look, there are new consoles coming. This generation is really interesting because it's like from a software experience standpoint. I'm not violating NDA to say it's identical, right? If you have an Xbox One today and you boot the thing up and you look at it, that's what the Xbox Series X and S look like, right? That's the same software. It runs the same games with very minor concessions. I think there are some Kinect titles from Xbox One that won't work because Kinect doesn't work. But if it runs on Xbox One with that exception, and if it's on backward compatibility for OG Xbox or for the Xbox 360, it will run on the Series X and Series S. It will be better in some ways, whether or not Microsoft and or the game maker did anything to make it better for Xbox Series S or X, by which they call that optimized, right? And what that means is that there's special hardware and software in the both consoles that speeds up everything, right? And the details of that will be something I guess we'll talk about next week when we can talk about the review and what that looks like. But the point is, if you ordered one of these things or if you plan to get one, everything should. So we will be able to discuss that in more detail soon. So the interesting thing is, and maybe from my perspective, the aggravating thing is, a couple of people at least have started reporting online that they've received their consoles already. What? So they pre-ordered. Yeah. There's a guy from Portugal who pre-ordered it from Microsoft Store and got it yesterday.
Did it come with a little card saying, you can't talk about it?
So what other people are seeing now, so now that this happened, of course, a lot of people are checking their pre-orders. Yeah. And the way this is supposed to work is that the shipper, you know, FedEx or UPS or whoever it is supposed to hold on to it until a specified date.
Then yeah, this happens all the time with other stuff. Yeah.
Right. I mean, look, we already did the unboxing thing. I mean, I think the reality is when you get this box, you open it up and there's a console, a couple of cables and a couple of booklets, and there's not really much going on there. There's not much to say, and you plug it in and you set it up and it works and you play the game, you know, so we'll see. I think the trick is going to be not so much, you know, when I or others can review it and finally say, hey, look, this is what it's like. This is this fast or this fast, whatever it is. The truth of this console, these two consoles, is going to be told over time, because of course what you want to see are the optimized games, and there just aren't a lot of those out yet. And there will be some, I think, right at launch or that week, and then more as we go forward. So there's not a lot to talk about from a gameplay perspective, right? So we can sort of evaluate the controller and the speeds and you know, how fast things happen. And I think that's what we're going to be looking at. So I'll be interested to see if any of these people who got one early post any of their thoughts online about any of that stuff. But what you going to do? So we mentioned the date is November 10th, which is next Tuesday. Interestingly, Apple's going to have a virtual event that day. God damn them. And that's the ARM thing we were talking about earlier, the Apple Silicon event. And so they're rumored to have two or three MacBook Pro type devices. And we'll see what that looks like. And seriously, there are like 4 weeks in this month. You could have done it now, Wednesday.
Isn't there an Apple TV on Xbox thing also that day or no?
Yes. So I don't remember if it was Microsoft. Yeah, it must have been Microsoft. So
yeah.
Xbox, all Xbox, current Xbox consoles, including Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and S will support the Apple TV app and a bunch of other entertainment apps. In fact, I just got an email about that. Let me just make sure there's nothing.
Look at me saying Apple and Xbox in the same sentence.
Yeah, no, excuse the bell is just frozen over.
The full list it's not the full list, but the big apps that will be available on day one are Netflix, Disney Plus, HBO Max, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Prime Video, Hulu, NBC Network, Vudu, Fandango Now. I guess we're getting down to the the second tier here. Which Sky Now TV, Sky Ticket, and many more. So lots of stuff happening there. You know what they don't have, though, is a new media remote. You know, that was one of the things that Sony announced the other day. I feel like Microsoft was kind of burned by what happened with the Xbox One, because remember that was the all-in-one media entertainment hub. It had the HDMI pass-through and all that stuff and IR blasting and blah, blah, blah. That's all gone. So they got rid of all that. Although I guess it will – can I say this? It doesn't matter. So the there's other stuff going on. But okay. So Apple's going to try to bogart the day. So thank you, Apple, for doing that.
There won't be any other news. There won't be any other yeah. news.
Yeah. So on the day of the launch, Microsoft isn't going to have a launch event per se. But what they are going to do is have what they're calling a live launch celebration, where they're inviting gamers to play alongside people who work on Xbox. And they'll do it's kind of a live virtual event. You can check that out on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook Gaming starting November 10th at 11 a.m. PT, which is 2 p.m. ET. Right? Yeah, next Tuesday.
So, you said you know a guy?
Yeah, I was thinking so I'm going to try to find this person. If I do, I'll forward it to you. Someone emailed me and said, hey, I don't need this pre-order.
Oh, yeah. I see those all the time. I don't know. I'm worried. The last guy that did it said it'll only be $900 Canadian. And I thought, yeah, I think I'm just going to see. I think I can probably do the same thing for the PS5, which is at midnight on the 9th, go to Target online. They're going to sell it and order it.
Right.
For pickup in the store. And if I do, like the Petaluma Target or Sonoma or Healdsburg, somewhere, small town, I won't have a lot of competition.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm thinking. Okay. Yeah.
You got to want it, Leo,
You got to work for it.
Well, otherwise, it'll be next year.
Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand why you can't go to Xbox.com right now.
Yeah.
Say, I want this console.
When can I get it?
It's all access. Yeah. Just deliver it whenever it comes.
Yeah.
And they'll say, here's the date we think it's going to come. It's what Apple does, right?
Yeah.
Why don't they do that? I don't understand.
I don't know.
And actually, that reminds me. I was going to do the $35 a month thing. I bet I can't do that through Target. I think I'd have to buy it outright, right?
Actually, I think you can, Leo.
Oh, okay.
I think the third. Third parties are supporting Best Buy. Yeah, third parties are doing it. GameSpot?
Okay.
Best Buy, Target was one of them. Walmart, I think, is one of them.
All right.
So, yeah, if you want to do it that way, you can do it through a third party as well. Look, when this thing ships, I would like to think that that's how it's going to work, right? And so, yeah, look, maybe worst case scenario, you don't have it by the holidays. But that too sounds a little extreme.
I don't even mind that.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you know it's coming. And
yeah. This is a solved problem. And then, you got the Apple has also dealt with the scalpers and all of that issue. I mean, this is solved.
Do you think there's some promotional reason they're not doing it? Like Monday before the event,
they've never done this. Like, so they have in the past also, sold out of stuff. And look, if there's demand, this is essentially infinite. You can just keep making them. Yeah. I don't understand.
I just think there's some artificial constraint here that they're trying to play on somehow.
I don't know if you've been paying attention to the Microsoft Store news this year, but they're not very good at retailing. I don't like it. I don't understand it. I think it's the wrong. It's bad. It's a bad customer service experience.
Yeah,
I had a very frustrating day. I have no problem giving this company $35 a month for 2 years. I'd be happy to do it. I don't have to. It doesn't have to come on November 10th. It could come on November 24th or December 12th or whenever it comes. Right. That's fine.
You just want to know you're going to get it. Yeah.
Yep. Just want to be on the list. It's not too much to ask, but apparently it is. If you went to Apple.com today and you're like, I want a new iPad or iPhone Pro and blah, blah, blah. You kind of spec'd it out. They'll tell you exactly when it's coming, or when to expect it, right? It may not be the launch day, which is what, like Friday or something, right? It might be 2 weeks from then. But yeah, good. Now I got it. I know it's coming.
Right. Yep. Anyway. It just seems like that would be more orderly, too, more.
Not that this makes it any better, but Sony also screwed up their pre-order for PS5.
Both did it. And so did NVIDIA, by the way. What a nightmare that was, right? Getting the new graphics cards. I mean, this is more the rule than the exception, but still.
You have so many people hitting your website to hand you $500. How do you not?
It must have something to do with the channel, protecting the channel. Yeah.
I don't think Microsoft has the, I'll call it like channel insight to understand accurately. Come back to a customer and say, based on when you are on the list, you're going to get it roughly on this date. I think it probably has something to do with them not wanting to disappoint people because they would probably come back in many cases later and say, actually, it's going to be a week or two later. And that would be a huge problem for some people.
It's so important to them and both companies that they sell in Target and Best Buy and Walmart and all these other brick and mortars.
that maybe that they don't want to do too much of their, I mean, they do sell it, right? But they don't want to offer a more orderly process than the other guys.
Maybe.
It's probably pretty close to the truth too, because, and Mary Jo knows too, we go back years at Microsoft, they have such a partner mindset at Microsoft.
Yeah.
Even when they compete with their partners like they do with Surface, they try to be very accommodating. Mm-hmm. You know, with Xbox specifically, there's a deal when you go to GameSpot, which is a business that will be going away because of stuff like online sales. If you buy an Xbox with and do the all access thing through GameSpot, GameSpot actually gets a cut of it. And they've never done anything like that before. And they're throwing those guys a bone, like, because they know, like, they look, we know if we only did this ourselves, fewer people would come to your store, which is, you know, kind of happening inevitably anyway. But they're trying to throw those guys a bone and help them out. And that's part of it, too. That makes sense. All right. I believe that's probably a part of it, too. That makes sense.
Because Apple doesn't have to worry about the channel because everybody wants an iPhone. So they don't have to kiss anybody's tuchus. Although you could argue the same of Xbox Series X. And anyway.
Look, here's the truth with Xbox Series X. As awesome as it is, 6 months from now, yesterday's news.
There'll be plenty of them. Just out of curiosity, what time is the Microsoft event?
11 a.m. PT.
So we could segue from the Apple event, which will be ending right about then, into Microsoft. Yeah, Apple's 10 to 11.
So I wouldn't get too excited about this Microsoft event because it's not a launch event. It's just going to be kind of an online celebration thing. I think it's probably going to be kind of goofy, honestly. But
are they going to send out playing cards and pennants? And
party hats party and streamers hats. And things. Have an Xbox launch party at your house with your family and friends. You know, honestly, these days, the little maybe kits. Not smart.
Yeah.
I got that Windows 7 kit. I hope I saved
those.
I know.
I remember those.
Yeah. I hope I saved those cards.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here, let's see.
There's one more thing.
Una más. One more thing.
So, you know, one of the things that Microsoft does have as a tremendous asset on the Xbox side is Halo, right? It's their biggest franchise. It's an amazing success. They intended to launch a new Halo game alongside the console. I don't think they've ever done that before. Actually, I'd have to really think about that, but I don't believe a new Halo game has ever launched at the same time as a new console. Someone will prove me wrong within 10 seconds, but it doesn't matter because they're not doing it, because they had that game extravaganza a couple months ago. The first game they showed was Halo, and it was terrible looking. Terrible. It was so bad. That was the one you and I, Leo, covered live.
Right.
I thought that it was purposefully terrible to show you what Halo games look like, and it was going to be like the beginning of that scene in the Wizard of Oz where it turns the color.
I remember you even saying that.
All of a sudden it was going to be like high res and HDR, and it was going to be beautiful. Never happened. And there's been a lot of turmoil over in 343 Industry, which is the company that now the game studio that Microsoft owns that does Halo. These guys have thought about breaking this game up into two games where one is multiplayer and one is single player. They've thought about, trying to improve it over time because they knew the first version was going to be pretty terrible. Eventually, they just decided it was so bad they just couldn't ship it on time. And unfortunately, there's this whole industry of tie-ins that's happening on the back of it that all just came flying out from every corner of the earth, even though the game's not available. So there's all those things with like Monster Drinks and Taco Bell and, you know, whatever the other things are. And it's just you can't stop the marketing. It's very similar actually to the movie industry. Daniel Craig, the guy who plays James Bond, was going out on tour to talk about this new movie that was coming out right as the pandemic started. And then they kept going because they were like, well, we might have to delay it a couple of weeks because of the pandemic, but that's fine. We can still do the PR. And then eventually they realize, actually, this movie's not coming out for months and months, and maybe not even until next year now, or definitely not until next year. And they did all this PR, you know, like back in March, and it's like, why did we do this? We're talking about a movie no one's going to be able to see until at least a year from now. And that's unfortunately kind of the situation with Halo. So it turns out this has had some repercussions. Like the guy who was running 343 got booted out, or in his words, he stepped down. And he is still technically employed by Microsoft, but he doesn't actually have a job. I think he's going to be leaving.
He's looking for his next opportunity.
Yes, he is. He wanted to spend some more time with the family, as it turns out.
Exactly.
And, who wouldn't during the pandemic, you know? So,
wow, that's interesting. So, your instinct that there's something wrong here wasn't far off.
There have been so many indications. I mean, seeing that game, though, that day, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I just kept waiting. Like, you know it's going to get better. This console can do 4K, HDR, 120 frames a second.
Yeah, right.
What am I looking at? It just looked like some... I am playing the remastered versions of earlier Halo games, like Halo 3 and ODST. On the PC, they look better than the Halo Infinite thing. Those games are a decade old or more, you know? Or whatever they are. I don't know. Anyway, it's too bad. And it's particularly too bad because if you think back to what happened with the Xbox One, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, whenever that was, they completely flubbed that launch, right? And it unfortunately set them up for a generation of pain. And, you know, they've righted the ship and they've done some really good things with Xbox, obviously. But they don't need this again. Like, it's just, it's unfortunate that this had to happen. Because this was, it's still, if you go to Xbox.com, you look at all the marketing materials for Xbox Series X and S, Halo. It's all over it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not happening until next year. Stupid pandemic.
Hey, programmers sit at home anyway. I don't understand what they need to be at the office for, or whatever it is that they're missing.
I can't program with a mask on, man.
Actually, here's how you know things are bad. They brought back a guy that used to work on Halo who hasn't been at Microsoft for years to run the team to get it back on track.
Wow.
And you know that guy walked the door the first day. Well, actually, it was empty. It didn't really matter what he saw. But as he examined, you know, what was going on with that part of the company, everybody, it must have been a mess.
Yeah. So you don't think this guy was a fall guy. You think it really, he deserves it.
Well, you're always going to cut off the head of the snake. But, right. I mean, that's where the blame has to lie, right?
Right. Somebody's got to crack the whip, keep these creative types in line.
It's better to ship nothing than to ship crap. That's all I'm saying.
Did you watch Mythic Quest, the Apple TV show about a game company?
No, I did not. Was it good?
Not
a
good. Well, there were some good parts. Mm-hmm. In fact, ironically, the best episode was one they made after the season. Apple sent off. It was during, because of COVID. Apple sent them all iPhones, and they shot a Zoom episode that was actually really well done.
Right.
You might, you know, you don't have Apple TV, but you can get a 3-month free trial. And
no, I do.
You know, you do? Yeah. It's not a great show, but what's interesting, it's about making video games. So there's parts of it that you'll enjoy. Yeah. It's a lot of inside humor.
There were a couple of Apple TV shows I really liked, actually. I mean, For All Mankind was great.
I love that,
M. Night Shyamalan thing, whatever that was called.
Servant. That was great. That's pretty good, Ted Lasso. That's pretty good.
I didn't see that. But,
it's worth watching.
We'll get there. We're still working our way through the uplifting Scandinavian crime dramas on Netflix. But
I love the Scandinavian. And then once you do the Scandinavian crime dramas, do the New Zealand crime dramas.
Yes.
Because they're similar.
It's Polish. And,
they're similar.
we're watching one now that was made in Finland, and it's the quick burger of Scandinavian crime dramas. It's like some guy came back, and he's like, I saw this show. It was awesome. Let's make something just like it.
I know how to do it.
She's like, no, we got this.
We can do it. It's a very simple,
it's like,
really.
No, you can't. Yeah. Actually, I like watching shows where people know less about how the police work than I do, you know?
They call it a procedural.
Yeah. So the police, like, constantly break into people's houses to find clues. And it's like, guys, this is illegal. Anyway, whatever.
Let us take a little time out before we go to the back of the book. That wasn't such a bad Xbox segment.
Yeah.
No, we survived.
Next week's going to be a freaking nightmare.
Oh yeah.
Mary Jo might
want to get your gong ready.
Bang a gong.
The dam will burst, and so will Paul.
My heart just isn't big enough.
Our show today brought to you by, I was just talking about Wasabi and the move to the cloud, as people slowly realize, you know, we're creating, you know, in our case, what is it? A petabyte of data every month.
It's not that much. 100 terabytes of data every month. And we're going to need to buy more hard drives every month. About 100 terabytes worth. That's just the way it is. There are a lot of businesses like that. There's a high-rise in Boston. They got put in security cameras recording all the time. They realize, oh, we're going to need a new terabyte hard drive every single day. Once you start adding up the cost of that on-prem storage, you might say, it must be a better way. There is. How about Wasabi? Hot cloud storage that is so economical, it actually costs you less than just the maintenance fee for that on-prem storage. So it's 80% cheaper, one-fifth the cost of Amazon's S3, significantly less expensive than on-prem storage. And it's just a natural way to buy more storage instead of buying more hard drives. Buy Wasabi. In fact, they make it easy because they have, you can pay as you go. There's a flat rate. There's no tiers. There's no charge for egress. That's a big one because, you know, there are companies, I won't name names or initials, but there are companies that say, oh, look how low our storage costs are. But then they don't mention. But if you want any of that data, it's going to cost you. And the egress fees can really add up. There is no charge for egress at Wasabi. Just one flat rate. They don't charge you for API access. And oh, by the way, the API is identical to S3's. So there's a ton of tools. You already know how to use it, in other words. So pay. You can pay as you go, or, which is, you know, for a lot of companies, that's just, you know, it's easy. It's a no-brainer. You know exactly what you're going to pay. But if you know, I'm going to have this much storage every single month, I'm going to need this much more, you can do something they call Wasabi's reserved capacity storage. You say, you buy up ahead of time, in effect. You say, I'm going to need this much cloud storage, and you buy 1, 3, or 5 year increments. The more storage you buy, the longer the term, the less the cost. So another way to really bring the cost down. So let's talk about security. I'd say clearly more secure than on-prem storage. Why? Well, it's 11 nines of durability. That's better than, I mean, that's really good. And how do they do that? Well, they have active integrity checking. Everything stored on Wasabi's cloud is checked for integrity every 90 days. Everything is stored in premier tier 4 data centers that are highly secure and fully redundant. So one bit disappears in one of them. You've got multiple copies that they can restore. And so you're just not going to lose data. It's more secure than a hard drive in the corner, for sure. They encrypt everything. Even if you don't specify encryption, it's automatically encrypted in place. They have very sophisticated, easy to use, but complete access control mechanisms, bucket policies, ACLs, that kind of thing. My favorite feature is your data is immutable. It cannot be modified by hackers, by ransomware, or by stupid you. It's immutable. You know, obviously you can change it, but you have to jump through hoops to do it. Immutability is a very nice feature. If you've got online storage in on-prem, ransomware is just going to go right there and it's gone. Not Wasabi. HIPAA compliant, FINRA compliant, CJIS compliant. This is really the no-brainer solution for people who are going to use a lot of storage. It's not just highly secure, disruptive technology that's turning its industry on the ear. It's storage that's one-fifth the cost and up to 6 times faster than the industry leader. Calculate the savings for yourself. Start a free trial of storage for a month. Go to Wasabi, WASABI.com. Click the free trial link and use the offer code Windows. This is a perfect example. We were talking earlier about how the cloud is finally getting its due. This is just very clear. If you compare on-prem to Wasabi, it's just very straightforward. Join the movement. Migrate your data to the cloud and do it with confidence. Go to Wasabi.com. Try it free for a month. Make sure you use the offer code Windows. Thank you, Wasabi, for your support. Thank you, Windows Weekly Listener, for using that special offer code. That way they know you saw it here. Back of the book time. And Paul Thurrott starts with his tip of the week. Oh, I liked this. I saw this on your site.
Yeah.
This is good.
This is a good one. Yes, yeah, so this is kind of a tip and an app in a way. I actually still don't know who publishes this. I was trying to figure that out. But somebody out there has created a script that will download Microsoft's Windows 10 installer tool, if you don't already have it. And if you do, it will just use it and let you pick which version of Windows 10 to download and then either save as an ISO or write to a DVD drive or a USB memory key. So, you know, if you use the, it's called the media creation tool, actually, I'm sorry. So if you go to the Microsoft website and download this tool, what you'll get, of course, is the most recent version of Windows 10. That makes sense. But for various reasons, maybe you're a developer, maybe you're just an enthusiast, whatever it is, you might want one of the older versions. And so this literally gives you the ability to access any version that's ever been released going back to 1507.
Wow.
It's the original version.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
No, it's really, really good idea. I don't know why Microsoft just doesn't offer this, I guess. I mean, I guess I kind of do, but it just seems that it's just...
They don't block it. To their credit, they don't prevent it either. So.
Yeah. I mean, these downloads are out there. So, yeah. That's useful.
App pick of the week. That is very useful. I like it.
Yeah. So, I don't know if I mentioned this yet, but there's a new Xbox console is coming next week.
Oh, and wow.
Throwing it out there.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Yep. So, if you've bought any digital device, this could be like a smartwatch, a smartphone, a smart home device, whatever it is. It's actually kind of crazy how long the setup process is and all these things. You have to install like a firmware update, a software update, in this case, a controller update maybe. And then you have to, you know, sign into your account and set up, you know, how you want the thing to work and blah, blah, blah. There's all these things you have to go through. And on a console, that kind of process is particularly ponderous because you're using a controller. So if you've ever had to type in your Microsoft account using a controller, it's not the greatest. So one of the things you're going to be able to do instead of that is use the Xbox mobile app, right, for Android or iOS, because one of the capabilities that's actually built into the app already is that you can use it to set up a new console. And so there's a point very early in setup, it will show you like a code. I think it's 8 or 10 letters. And in the app, you type in those letters, and then you can continue the process of setting up your Xbox from the phone. So if you want to try that, the Xbox app for mobile is good for other things, but that's one of the many things it does. You can go to the Play Store if you're on Android, or go to the Apple App Store and search for the Xbox app. And, you know, obviously it's free. So it's kind of a cool, and we'll talk about that more next week. But something you can get ready for.
I'm getting ready. I'm preparing for the excitement. Actually, you know what? Forget it. I discovered Animal Crossing on the Nintendo Switch. I'm building my island. I don't need you, Xbox. I don't need you.
You know, you can go to the island, Leo, but...
Would you like to visit my island, Paul? I've cornered the turnip market.
Well, I don't have Animal Crossing. I don't have a Switch.
You need a Switch. You're better off, Paul. I have some strange weakness for these kind of games. Remember I was out of control with Wii Rule. Do you remember that? And Simpsons Tapped Out. And before that, even Farmville.
Pokemon, you were into.
Pokemon. This is a kind of like The Sims meets Farmville. So you go
so
to
what's the addictive part of this? Like what's the draw?
It's like, actually surprisingly deep. I mean, it's very kiddie.
Yeah.
But you go to a deserted island. And you're slowly building it up. So it's got a little Minecraft-y kind of feel to it, too. You build your house. You build things. You collect fish and wildlife and bugs. And you sell them. And there's a stalk market. Not a stock market. A stalk. S-T-A-L-K market. Every Sunday, a weird-looking animal. They're all animals except for you. You're the only human in the whole thing. A weird-looking animal comes around with turnips on her head. And she sells turnips for a price, and then you wait and you check every day. You check the turnip prices a couple of times a day, and then when the turnip prices hit, you know, peak, you cash out. But you got to do it before she comes back because they'll rot.
It's like day trading.
It's got all these weird mechanics.
It sounds like you're describing a fever dream.
It's very fever. In fact, speaking of a fever dream, when you go to lie down, it says, "Do you want to lie down or do you want to go to sleep?" And you say, I'll go to sleep. And then Luna, the dream tapir, comes.
Tapir.
She's a little tapir with a nose. She comes and says, woo. And it goes, oh, woo. And she says, where would you like to go? And one of the places you can go is Joe Biden had his own island. He's got one in Fortnite, too, as you know. And you can go to there, and I got a selfie with Biden. Trump didn't have an island. I would have visited, but they didn't have one. And then you wake up and you're back in your bed What else? Yeah, it's very surreal. Last night there were shooting stars. I had to sit looking at the sky for like felt like a long time, and then there's a shoot, and I got the shooting star, and then the star fragments fell to the beach. And this morning I combed the beach, I found all the star fragments, and I was able to make a star wand out of the star fragments. You know what the star wand does? I thought it would do something really cool. All it does is changes your outfit with one tap of the star.
You know, Leo, I've spent the past 5 or 6 years trying to convince Mary Jo to play video games.
Killing
I got to say, you've set me back.
No, you know what? Mary Jo would love this game.
Would I?
Yes, you would. You would. Because nothing dies. It's very, well.
Nothing dies.
Nothing dies. There's a fox that comes around, tries to sell you fake artwork. And you have to examine it and see if the Mona Lisa has arched eyebrows. That's not the real one. And it's, you know, and you can, he tries to trick you because he's a fox. Never mind. Never mind. You wouldn't appreciate it, Paul. It's just not for you.
It's like pee interest. I know.
Yeah, it's like pee interest. Mary Jo Foley, Enterprise Pick of the Week.
This is actually more like an SMB Pick of the Week. But it's a pretty cool opportunity. So it's a Teams-related tip. And sometimes if you're want to dial into a Teams meeting using a regular plain old telephone, you may not know this, but you need a special license with Teams to do that. And it costs money to have that be supported. So right now, there is a promotion going on at Microsoft for 1 year. It started October 1, where you can get an add-on to your existing Microsoft 365 business standard, business premium, enterprise E1 or E3 license that lets you get licenses for audio conferencing for free. And the way to find this the most easily, I think, is to go to docs.microsoft.com and do a search for set up audio conferencing for small and medium business. Just like search that inside of Docs, and you'll see all the details of how to add this to your plan for free for a year. And this tip comes from Alex Niehaus. I didn't know about it, but there are a lot of different things you can add to your plans if you don't want to go all the way and get an E5 license, which is very expensive per user. So this one is actually a year of free basic call-in conferencing for Teams if you know where to look to get it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Basic call-in conferencing for Teams. Cool. How about a code name pick of the week?
This is a brand new hot off the press code name. Aquila is the code name.
Oh, you know, it's so weird. It's not the first time I've heard that code name.
Really?
That was
somebody else said that today.
Yeah. Facebook's name for their internet drones, I think, was Aquila. Yeah.
So Aquila is a constellation, right?
Yes.
And it's an eagle.
It's an eagle. That's right. It's Latin for eagle. That's why I think that's why Facebook called their drones Aquila.
So the only reason I can think Microsoft called something Aquila is it has to do with the cloud. That's about the limits of this. Because what Aquila is a product from Microsoft called System Center Operations Manager, or SCOM, if you're on an intimate basis with System Center. SCOM. Good old SCOM. This is SCOM in the cloud. SCOM in the cloud. So right now, SCOM, which lets IT pros monitor their equipment and their services and their apps, it's an on-premises product. And Microsoft's been trying to convince them to go with Azure Monitor, which is an Azure-based service, to do this instead. But because they don't get all the capabilities they're used to with SCOM, some people have held back and not wanted to go all in on Azure. So this is kind of like their stutter step almost, I think, is how I would characterize it. It's SCOM spun up in an Azure instance so that you're using SCOM in the cloud, but you're not yet using full-on Azure Monitor. So I know the code name. I have details about it on my site, like what's there so far and what isn't. And it's not even available yet. I think it's coming to private preview soon. And Microsoft didn't want to talk about it, surprisingly. They said, we have nothing to share when I asked them. But yeah, it's a real thing and it's coming soon. So if you're an IT pro, keep your ears open for Aquila.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Scum, you say.
Scum. I say it's time for a beer.
I think it is.
But this is a beer that's more than just a beer, it sounds like.
It is. You know, it's tough to one-up peanut butter whiskey when you're talking about a beer. But listen to the name of this beer. It's from Evil Twin, which has the best beer names of everybody. And it's called... It's Bailey's Irish Cream Coffee, not Bailey's Irish Cream and Coffee. That's the name of the beer.
That's the whole name.
And what it is awesome. An Imperial Stout that's aged on Bailey's Irish Cream Coffee.
That does sound really good.
So it tastes like Bailey's, basically. Chocolate, caramel,
How do they fit the name on the can?
Coffee, cream, vanilla. All the things you love in Bailey's, except presented as a 12.2% Imperial Stout.
I don't see it.
So people on Untappd say it makes a great nightcap. That's about all you would drink of this, because you'd be under the table at 12.2 if you drank a lot of it.
It's at the bottom.
But one people point say creamy goodness. Yeah. All the things you think about when you think of Bailey's.
Do you actually put ice in it? Like a Bailey's?
No, you don't put ice in it, right?
Well, there's ice in the pitcher there.
Mary Jo can no longer hear us.
I can now.
Oh, yeah. Good. Okay.
Suddenly my sound just died. Oh, but okay. Yeah, so Paul and I have heard from people on Twitter lately saying, I'm living for the end of the show picks because you guys are like trying to one-up each other, right? Like one week you get a peanut butter whiskey and then you get a cocktail. Like, what are you going to have this week?
Can they stop making alcohol taste so good? This is not good.
I know, right? I know.
Bring, I know. Well, actually,
Imperial Stouts.
Yeah. Next week we'll be doing recreational marijuana because New Jersey just passed.
Yes, that's right. And Oregon just allowed psilocybin mushrooms. So
I know.
Sky's the limit now, kids.
Oregon allowed everything pretty much.
We're
right?
going to need it.
Everything got approved.
Let me tell you, it's not getting any better.
It's really like it's not one nation. It's a very interesting mix.
Yeah.
Of just completely the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, and the interesting thing for me, and I got to say, it's getting a little tired, is all I have to do is walk 100 feet up the road and I get to see the other side. You don't have to go too far here.
Yeah. Yeah, you live in the middle.
Yep.
Well, the counting will continue, and so will Paul and Mary Jo. A week from last Tuesday, yesterday.
Yesterday, yep.
The Xbox... Series X will be on sale. Paul's review will emerge sometime between now and then, I'm figuring. Next Wednesday, we'll know all, and he will tell all. And that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
That'll be exciting. Paul Theroux.
I can't imagine him not liking it, can I just say, before you do
Yeah, it's not going to be like,
spoiler alert, it's awesome.
Like, he hates it. Paul Theroux hates the Xbox.
That would be quite a story.
Right?
Yeah. It's not that good. I went back to my old console.
Yeah. Oh, God.
No. It's so bad I stopped playing video games.
He's now using the Switch.
Our words you will not read in an article about this console.
Actually... I might have one if my strategy works. Mm-hmm. I might have one next Wednesday.
I think you.
You'll have it by the time of Windows Weekly.
Well, if I order it midnight and I before the show, I drive up to Target, pick
it
up.
You know what you got to do, Leo? Is if you find a place where you can get this console, you got to talk to the guy there or whoever and say, "Look, I'm coming back on Thursday. We're going to do the same thing."
So, you know,
that's true,
right? Mm-hmm. If you find a source for this.
Well, this is my one and only plan, which is to order online for pick that day pickup. And I think it might work. I've got the Target account. I've got them favorited. You know, I got some chops from many years of iPhone scrambling.
You know, if you see a line of cars coming up from San Francisco Bay Area, you're going to know what's happening. Because people are going to be like, yeah, I can drive 30 miles to pick this up.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. I should probably go even farther.
Northern
Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon. And get some mushrooms at the same time.
I found one in Corvallis. I'll be back on Wednesday.
A multi-purpose trip. You could do everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this thrilling, gripping edition of Windows Weekly. Mary Jo Foley is at ZDNet. Now a Red Venture. That closed, didn't it? Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
Do you have to put a special logo in that lower third for her now?
No, we all have to wear red all the time.
Actually, I think they're going to be good owners. I think that
you're all red shirts now, Mary Jo.
They remind me of the old Ziff Davis, but online, like a series of verticals.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It's very interesting. Anyway, you don't have to know any of that. That's just behind the scenes stuff. She's at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's all you need. Paul Thurrott's at Thurrott.com, Thurrott.com. He become a premium member, by the way. Great premium articles Paul's been writing. It really adds to the value of the site. You can also pick up his field guide to Windows 10 now with 20H2. All you have to do is go to leanpub.com. It's available there. It's a download. They also have some neat posters you could put on your wall, that kind of thing. You don't have to print them. They send you posters. That's it for this show. We do it every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC. If you'd like to watch or listen as we do it, we have live streams at twit.tv/live. If you are watching or listening to the live stream, you certainly should type at the live chat, irc.twit.tv, bunch of nice people in there. After the fact, on-demand versions of the show are available at our website, twit.tv/ww. But you can also subscribe in your favorite podcast application. You get it automatically without any effort on your part. That might be the best strategy of all. Or you can wait till next Tuesday and order the show at midnight. It'll probably come to you later that Wednesday.
just at about 2 o'clock ET.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Paul. Mary Jo, have a great week. See you next week. We're going to have a big, big week next week on Windows Weekly. Take care.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Ant Pruitt, host at Twit TV. Got a question for you. Have you gotten tired of how bad your photos are looking every time you post them to Instagram? Better yet, have you gotten yourself a new camera and you can't quite figure out why the images just don't look that good? Well, I have a solution for you. It's my show, Hands On Photography. Each and every Thursday, I sit down and share different tips and tricks that are going to help make you a better photographer and a better post processor. So subscribe today at twit.tv/hop to learn more.